Hi, this is Artie from Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the IV Envy podcast, home of strong opinions, marginal analysis, internet muscle flexes, the occasional chicken interruption, and the always entertaining Rube Waddell stories. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IV Envy podcast. It's our 409th episode, and it is the Rise and Shine episode. It's currently 7:46 a.m. Are you feeling at 100%, Andy?
I'm not feeling very alert right now, but it'll come slowly with a little bit more coffee.
Yeah, I just looked, and my coffee is halfway gone already, so this could be we might have to make this a short episode.
All right, that sounds okay, but it's just going to be packed full of great content,
so right?
That'll work.
Yeah. So I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by Andy. So yeah, we've already heard from you, Andy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was about to say, hey, it's Andy, but I guess that's a little redundant at this point. So
yep. So okay, I'm ready for this thing. Let's do it. This is maybe the earliest we've ever done an episode of this podcast. I can't think of a time we would have done it before 7:45.
No, I think this is the earliest. So, we're rough and ready here at the IV Envy podcast. I mean, any time of the day, right. we will podcast. You can't stop us from podcasting.
Well, we're going to talk about the Cubs series loss to the Cardinals, a sweep, and we're going to talk about a slew of roster moves, guys going to the DL, being sent to AAA, guys returning from AAA, and players making their first MLB appearances. And Andy is going to share a Rube Waddell story with us. I'm hoping at some point over the course of this episode, I lose my morning voice. I was upstairs talking to myself all morning, and I haven't lost it yet, so my apologies.
I can hear it a little bit, but it's not too bad.
Okay, you sound fine. And also, like Artie referenced in our little intro thing there, the chickens are out, and they are right outside my window, and the rooster is in rare form this morning. So so you might hear a chicken interruption. So before we get to those things that I talked about, I know that we have a number of listeners in the states of Ohio and Kentucky. I'm going to be at the Cubs-Reds game in Cincinnati next Tuesday and Wednesday. My oldest daughter and I are going to do a little quick road trip. So if you're at either of those games, let me know. Let's hang out. I've already heard from some people that they'll be there, so it should be fun. And I think while my daughter still wants to hang out with me, I'm trying to take her to as many ballparks as I can where she still would like to spend time with me and thinks that I'm fun. So this is her sixth MLB ballpark. And
wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and she'll cross number 7 off next month when we go to Miller Park. So,
wow, I think she could do them all easily.
Yeah, well, yeah. If as long as I'm willing to pay to take her all those places. I mean, there's air travel, Andy. Of course, it can be done easily. it's just whether or not the checking account and the savings account can easily handle.
I was thinking
that
more of like as far as a life goal. Like, it's right, a little late for me probably to try to get to all of them, but for her, I mean, she's got a great start on it.
Yeah, she's getting. If I can, I figure if in the next like 2 years I can get her a third of the way through it, then she'll be in good shape. So I think the worst kind of series loss is a loss to the Cardinals and a sweep of the Cardinals or by the Cardinals. And I, going into this series, I was really hoping that the Cubs could put the Cardinals away. And if the Cubs could have swept, if they would have swept the Cardinals would have been 15.5 games out of first place. And I think I just saw that number. I was feeling a little greedy, and I guess where I stand at with this series is that except for Wednesday's game, the Cubs didn't get blown out. and they lost some close games those first two games. Monday's game ended with the tying run on third base and the winning run on first. And then, had Albert Almora not been out at third, he would have scored on Zobrist's single. So I think that game really could have gone either way. And then on Tuesday's game ended with the tying run on second and the winning run on first. So it just felt like those two games really, really just could have gone either way, and it didn't go the way that we would have liked it them to go.
And we've grown accustomed to the games going the way that we like them to go too. So that makes it a little bit tougher. And guys have normally been able to come through in those situations, and they just weren't able to.
Yeah.
In the St. Louis series, and they weren't able to for a few games in a row. So that makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah. And to be honest, I can't really fault the pitching. Lackey pitched fine on Monday. The bullpen did their job for three innings. Hamill wasn't awful on Tuesday. He did give up four runs, but the bullpen held the Cardinals scoreless for three and a third innings in that game. So, I mean, as far as the bullpen goes, I will take six and one thirds innings of one hit scoreless pitching from the bullpen. I'm content with that. I just think these close games and these close losses are just, they're going to happen. And it's just a real bummer when it happens like it did in this series with the Cardinals, where you had two close losses. And then I don't really even want to talk about Wednesday's game.
Yeah, that was the worst.
And the offense wasn't anemic in this series. They outhit the Cardinals in the first two games. And I just think these types of games are going to happen. I don't think that the Cardinals are as bad as their record indicates. They're right there with the Cubs as far as run scoring this season. Their pitching has been a little bit weaker than you would expect, but I think that the pitching is coming around, and I think it will continue to come around. Like I said, it's frustrating to lose games, especially to the Cardinals, but this was a close series, and it just didn't go the Cubs' way. And I guess when you have a lead like they do, when you can get swept and you still have a 9.5 game lead, I guess it's okay, you know? And I think that, you know, I think the Cardinals operate best when people count them out. And in a way, I kind of don't mind the Cubs maybe still having a chip on their shoulder about the Cardinals. And I think that the Cubs felt like last season, I think the Cubs felt like they had something to prove against the Cardinals last year, and late in the season, especially that Labor Day series, and then in the playoffs, the Cubs just took care of business and they took care of them. So I don't know. I think this could actually be okay for the Cubs down the road and in the second half of the season to be able to look back at this series and kind of have that in their back pocket as far as like extra motivation. I think I'm just looking for silver linings.
And the Cubs know that they can beat this team. I mean, this is the third series they've played against the Cardinals this season already, and they won the first two series. They're 4-5 against the Cardinals overall this season, but they've soundly defeated the Cardinals several times this season. So it's not like this is some sort of, some sort of like bugaboo for the, dang it. I hate that word. I wish I didn't have to say it, but it's not like it's going to be a problem going forward is what I'm saying. They've played well against them already this season.
Yeah. So,
and I think back to last season's, you know, the Phillies sweeping the Cubs last season, and they were no mm-hmm. hit in that series. And, you know, they were able to come back from just abysmal series like that last season. And so I have faith that they can do that again this year based on, you know, examples like that.
Yeah. So I guess my question is to you is, and I think I know your answer, does this series concern you? Are you worried about or because of anything we saw?
I'm not really worried overall. My overall answer is no. I do worry a little bit about not having Dexter Fowler in the lineup, although Coughlin showed an ability to lead off effectively. Not in yesterday's game. He was 0-for-3 with a walk yesterday. But he did well at leadoff in game two of the series. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he did pretty well in that game. But still, like I feel like Dexter has been a big key to the offense this season, and I think that they will feel his absence a little bit. Coughlin in game two walked twice and was 1-for-2 and scored 2 runs. So he did really well in game two at the leadoff spot. I feel like they're going to miss him a little bit. The bullpen worries, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but I'm just a little nervous about that aspect of their game, but overall I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I just think the Cubs right now are exactly the same team that they were when they were just, you know, on their huge winning streaks and just dominating teams this season. You know, it's still the same team. It's not like, I don't feel like they were like performing in any fluky manner at that time, and now this is like, oh, okay, now this is the real Cubs. I just don't think that's the case. I just think they lost a couple of close games. And I think that, you know, it, like I said earlier, it is nice to have that 9.5 game lead in a situation like this. I mean, imagine if it was a five game lead going into the series, and now all of a sudden it's 2, you know, that would concern me a lot more. I think the Cubs have a nice cushion. On the other hand, the Cardinals are good. And, you know, I think that we can kind of be like tricked or lulled into that thinking, like letting that 9.5 game lead trick us into thinking that the Cubs or the Cardinals really aren't that good. And I saw some of that on Twitter. And I mean, this is a Cardinals team that has scored a ton of runs, and their pitching is coming around. Their pitching has underperformed this year. And I mean, this is a team that's
case in point is Waka too.
Right, yeah. And this is a team that is third in baseball in run differential. Obviously, the Cubs have a gigantic lead. They have 164 run positive run differential. Boston has 77, and the Cardinals have 72. So, I mean, according to run differential, they're third best in baseball. So this is a good team still. And the Cardinals are pesky. And on the other hand, I think that a race with them in the second half of the season could be really fun. I mean, I think that, not that I want things to be in doubt or down to the wire or anything like that, but I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of a race, at least in, you know, maybe in July, in the very beginning of August. I don't necessarily want to see a race like at the end of September, but I think that, you know, Cardinals fans aren't showing up to Busch Stadium. Their published attendance every game is like 40,000 plus. But if you look at the pictures, there are lots and lots of empty seats. And I think that, you know, it almost looks like if you watch a game there, it almost looks like a late season Cincinnati type game where there's just nobody there. And I think that some competition within the division might be good for the Cubs, just to keep them sharp, keep them competitive. And you know, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing for this team to kind of get punched in the mouth every once in a while this season, because that will happen in the postseason. And I think they need to know how to respond and how to win in those types of situations. So I really don't think, I mean, especially because of the cushion that they have, the lead. But I think that situations like this are maybe good for the team in the long run. But getting back to Cardinals fans and them not showing up and stuff, I think that I would rather see the Cubs win the division when Cardinals fans are paying attention, because it might hurt them a little bit more. You know, because I don't want them to just write off this season and just get geared up for football. Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, they don't have the Rams anymore. Never mind.
Ouch. Yeah, I mean, their diehard fans will, of course, be paying attention. And Like you said, they're going to be competitive. It has been kind of easy in the division for the Cubs, though. You're right, as they've beaten Pittsburgh. They're 8-1 against Pittsburgh so far this season. 3-2 against the Brewers and 6-1 against the Reds. So outside of the Cardinals, it has been pretty easy for the Cubs in the division. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think it is good for them to have some competition. It's good for them to have some tough losses every once in a while to kind of maintain their edge and their drive. And, you know, I think it helps with that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So that's where I'm ready to move on from the Cardinals series. It was what it was. I don't even know. It is what it was. I guess that's the way I'll say it. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I don't know when they play next, but.
Well, if they play today, they play against the Miami Marlins.
I mean, when they play the Cardinals next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know when they play again. It could be today. It could be like in a week or something.
Is this the All-Star break?
I guess baseball's going on. I'm not sure what all's happening here.
It's okay, no, Andy. It's early. I don't think we communicate as effectively this early in the morning. We rarely talk to each other this early. Even when we go camping and stuff, it's not like you and I get up at 6:30 to talk to each other.
Yeah, well, and if we do, it's text messages. But yeah, so I'm sure people have mercy on us a little bit. But the Cubs play the Cardinals in August is the next time they see them.
Oh, and really?
That's a series at Wrigley.
Man, that's a long time.
Yeah, so it's a long time to go without seeing the birds on the bat or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I did get a text message from one of my Cardinal fan friends yesterday of a broom sitting on his porch. So.
Oh, wow.
That was coming. Yep. That was coming. Yep. Today's episode is brought to you by Casper. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Ivy and using the promo code Ivy. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing those savings directly to you, the consumer. I don't have a Casper mattress, but I know someone that does, a listener and a frequent commenter and attendee of our live events, and he's been on the podcast before, Bob from Moline. So here's what Bob has to say about his Casper mattress.
Hello, Ivy Envy listeners. This is Bob from Moline to talk to you about Casper Mattress. Casper Mattress is the best mattress out there. I've had one for about 6 months now, and it's the best sleep I've gotten, period. It's a combination of springy latex and memory foam, which makes for a nice, cool, comfortable sleep. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not being paid to say this. I own one and I like it, so I wanted to share it with you guys. It is the best mattress out there. And if you don't like it, you have 100 days to try it out, to do a sleep test for 100 days. And if you don't like it, you can send it back, but there's no way you're not going to like it. So I highly recommend checking out Casper Mattress.
So Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine called it one of the best inventions in 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. And Casper has free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. And you can try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and they'll refund you everything. And Casper mattresses are made in America. So Casper is giving listeners of our podcast $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/IVMV and using the promo code Ivy. Terms and conditions apply. The Cubs made several roster moves this week, so let's talk about those. First off, Andy, you already mentioned Dexter Fowler being placed on the disabled list, and it looks like the Cubs are going to be without him for a little while here.
Yeah, unfortunately, he has been a big part of their success so far this season, but he came up gimpy trying to beat a throw to first, and that equals a 15-day DL stint with a hamstring strain. Madden said he could probably play if he had to, but the doctor told him if he played right now, they could risk it getting worse. So going forward, you know, in the interim, you know, between now and when Fowler is able to come back, we've already seen a heavy dose of Coughlin at leadoff, but I would suspect that Zobrist will occasionally get a start there as well. And like I said, Coughlin's done okay so far at leadoff. And so that's, I guess, what to expect. But hopefully he'll be back pretty quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of Fowler, I use a Joe Madden-ism when I'm coaching my daughter's softball team. And every game to start off, I tell our leadoff hitter that we go as she goes. And she has no clue what I'm talking about. And I never explain it to her. I just always say it to her. She just always has a confused look on her face.
Just say it for your own pleasure. Yeah,
it makes me feel like I know what I'm doing out there. So also being taken out of action, Clayton Richard was sent to the disabled list. He has a blister on one of his fingers. I guess that's the story, and the Cubs are sticking to it. I bet that's not a real severe blister. I'll just say that.
Yeah, who knows?
The blister is in his ERA, I think.
We've seen that happen to Cubs players in the past, like Kerry Wood, for example. So we know it can be pretty serious, but yeah, it's hard to say with him. Yeah. As getting him out of the picture for right now seems to be the best for all parties involved.
Right. We don't need to tell you that he's been bad, because you've been watching, you know that. I don't think he's been as bad as it seems, though. His ERA is 7.30, but his FIP is 3.80, a pretty big difference. And I think we've talked about this on here, but his BABIP is super high. I think it's like 420 or something like that.
It seems like everything falls in, you know, with him.
Right.
You know what's funny, Corey, is I went to, people were kind of bashing him on our Facebook group, our Patreon Facebook group, and I was going to write a little something in defense of him, because I was thinking back to last season, thinking he wasn't that bad last season. You know, he was pretty effective, and then I looked at the numbers, and he wasn't that great last season either. So my my nascent Clayton Richard defense post died before I had a chance to
before one word was typed.
But I mean, he did have times where he was pretty effective last season. People were decrying him, perhaps being stretched out to be a part of the rotation at some point.
Yeah,
the idea of that or the notion of that, and he actually did pretty well a few times in the starting rotation for the Cubs. He got 3 starts last season.
Yeah, I just think that huge difference between his ERA and his FIP, it just really stands out. And I think that, you know, the high BABIP, that's going to account for some of that difference between ERA and FIP. The big thing with Richard, though, is I think he's just walking way too many guys. And his walk rate last season was 3.9, and it's 9.5 this season. So over double. And even though he has options, So the Cubs could send him to AAA. I think because he has 5 years of MLB service time, he can refuse that assignment. So maybe if the blister isn't that terrible, which I kind of think it's probably not, maybe they can work with him some. They can give him a little Bosio magic, hopefully, and perhaps send him down to AAA, to Iowa, on a rehab assignment. And I guess with Richard, I just kind of hope that there's still something there's something left.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt that there could be.
Yeah. Speaking of AAA and being sent down, the Cubs sent down Adam Warren, but it's not necessarily because of his performance this year.
No, it's because the Cubs have a stretch of 24 games without a day off prior to the All-Star break. And so their plan is to, for a few minutes, have a 6-man rotation. And I was thinking, oh, surely today is probably a day off, right? Nope. I mean, they play just games, into the foreseeable future, game after game after game. And so to accomplish the plan of having that 6-man rotation, they sent Adam Warren to the iCubs to get stretched out. And so apparently he's supposed to get 2 starts in Iowa and 1 with the big league team prior to the All-Star break. And so he'll just be inserted in there briefly to be able to handle this spate of games that the Cubs have coming up. It's worth remembering the Yankees did use Warren as a starter for a stretch. So it's not like this is totally unfamiliar territory for him. He's been a starter in the past. He's also expressed, he's expressed a desire to be a part, to be a starting pitcher. So, you know, here's your chance, buddy. Get out there and give us a good start.
Yeah. So with Fowler, Richard, and Warren coming off the 25-man active roster, that freed up some spots, and the Cubs brought up some pitching from Iowa. So let's start off with a familiar face, Carl Edwards Jr.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as CJ. You guys remember when the Cubs had Matt Garza like 5 or 6 years ago?
Unfortunately, I do remember that.
You do remember that?
Unfortunately.
At spring training, the Matt Garza bobblehead was part of the trophy for the air hockey tournament that we had.
He's like somewhere in the minors for the Brewers, I think, like throwing like a 87 mile an hour fastball or something like that.
Really? Yeah, oh, man.
I think. I could be wrong, but.
Anyway, I don't feel too bad for him. But Carl Edwards Jr. is one of the guys the Cubs got in their trade of Garza to the Rangers. That trade also brought back Mike Olt. Remember him?
Wow.
Neil Ramirez and Justin Grimm. So Edwards has been in the minors since 2012, and I believe he saw his first MLB action as a September call-up last season. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as we saw in yesterday's game, I mean, he has a strong arm, and we got to see him from right behind home plate in spring training. And man, he was fun to watch as a live arm. I mean, he throws mid 90s on his fastball, a lot of break on his breaking ball. So he's a power arm, just a live arm, despite his stature. I mean, he's listed at 6'3", 170. And it just looks like he's kind of drowning in his uniform. But
I would be content with being like 5'7", 170.
Yeah, I'd be content with being 170 and basically
any height.
Yeah, right. As long as it's, yeah. So anyway, we saw him hitting the mid-90s with his fastball with ease yesterday. The problem, like I was looking at yesterday, it seems like his fastball is very straight. They talked about it having a little cut to it, but I mean, one of his pitches got hit out of the ballpark by Diaz yesterday, and it was one of those fastballs. He does have the ability to miss bats, as he has always had a high strikeout percentage, but he's also struggled a little bit with putting guys on base. So he's got to work on control. In the broadcast yesterday, they put out the notion of him potentially being a starting pitcher, but I think that's been, you know, many have questioned his durability and his ability to stick at as a starter, just perhaps because of his frame. So anyway, he could be a very strong piece in the bullpen for the Cubs in the future.
Yeah. The Cubs also called up Gerardo Concepcion. This guy's career has been really odd. It's been kind of fascinating to observe from a distance. So if you don't remember, the Cubs signed Concepcion as a 20-year-old. He's from Cuba. And Andy, I don't remember if you were at the game, but we had the opportunity to see him pitch for Low A Peoria when they came through the Quad Cities in 2012.
I was there.
Yeah. And I was really excited to see him pitch. And it was not good. I mean, his velocity was bad, and his control was awful. And so he's been in the system since 2012, and his numbers are just all over the place. In 2014, he was still in Low A. So 2 years later, still in Low A. And it's worth noting that after his time in Peoria, then he was moved to the bullpen. So he was originally a starter. So like I mentioned, 2 years later, he was still in Low A. And then last season, just 2015, he was in High A with Myrtle Beach for 7 games. And then he got promoted to Tennessee. And this is pretty much when I assumed his career was over. So he was with Tennessee just last season for 31 games. And he had an ERA of over 8.5. And
wow.
And so if I told you, yeah, so this guy, he walked more guys than he struck out, then you might think that's a problem. Is that right, Andy? You would say, that's not good.
I'd say that could be a problem.
So what if I told you that his walk rate was basically it was 17 and a half?
Wow.
So to put that into context, Fangraphs has a table chart for walk rates, and the very bottom category, which is entitled awful, what falls the number associated with that category is 9%. So Concepcion was almost double that. So he was
double plus awful.
And honestly, because of that, I just assumed that was the last that we would hear from him. I mean, he was 20. Yeah,
just even having seen him live in person, I was just like, oh man, this guy is not going to pan out.
Yeah. So then he started this season back in Double A, and he dropped his walk rate down to 6.5, which is actually better than average. And he was striking out 27.5%, which is excellent. It's off the charts. Opponents in Double A were hitting .089 off of him this season. He didn't allow a single run in 10 games. And he was then promoted to Iowa. He pitched 12 games for the iCubs, and his walk rate went up to 13.3%, and his strikeout rate dropped to just under 23%. And, you know, just a few episodes ago, I wondered if the Cubs wouldn't be calling him up because of their need for a lefty in the bullpen. And sure enough, they did. He's already gotten into action. He pitched Tuesday night, faced four guys, retired all four, two of them by strikeout. So I just think this guy is so interesting just because
it's bizarre.
I mean, you know, they signed him from Cuba. I was kind of excited. I mean, in any time, especially in 2012, when someone was signed from Cuba, at that time, the Cubs were looking at Jorge Soler. I think Cespedes had just been signed. And so, you know, there's a lot of excitement about the players coming out of Cuba. And so I was excited about this guy. So when they signed him to a major league deal. It was a 5-year deal, and this is the fifth year. So really the Cubs had nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose by bringing him up and just throwing him out there. And he's an arm, and as long as he's throwing strikes, they can ride him as hard as they want. Because at this point I see no reason to really worry about development or anything like that, considering this is the final year of that contract.
Right, and they just need some lefty arms to try out, you know, so he gives them that.
The only interesting thing about Concepcion really up till this point has been his Instagram, which you turned me on to that.
Let's just say he fancies himself a pretty fashionable fellow.
And the Cubs also called up Spencer Patton.
Yeah, I had forgotten that the Cubs got Patton last November in a trade with the Rangers for minor league infielder Frandy De La Rosa. But, you know, another fresh arm they have in the bullpen now. He has 35.1 big league innings pitched, and he's definitely a guy that can strike batters out. He pitched 24 innings for the Rangers in 2015, and he struck people out at a 25.7% rate. The problem is that over those 24 innings, he also gave up 24 earned runs and walked 12 batters also. So, so hopefully he can kind of get that figured out, you know, just get his control figured out. Because, you know, like I said, he definitely has the ability to miss bats. So, hopefully he pans out.
Yeah. So this was a little bit of a shorter episode. Just wanted to get something out, mainly at least, reference or at least acknowledge the Cardinal series and look at some of these roster moves. Andy, do you have a Rube Waddell story for us?
Yeah, I do. The Pirates sometimes had trouble finding Rube when they needed him to pitch. And, you know, that's been something that's shown up in past stories as well. But one time when he was missing, according to William Anderson, a historian, as far as Rube is concerned, they found Rube standing on a box in front of a 10-cent sideshow, exhorting the crowd to come in and see the wonderful cherry cat. I have no idea what that means, but apparently he was just pitching this sideshow where people could come in for 10 cents and see the wonderful cherry cat, whatever that is. But there was hopefully nothing dirty. But anyway, another time they called him to pitch in relief and he was nowhere to be found. So they actually sent players, quote, under the bleachers, unquote, to find him. And the players were informed by the, I guess there are people under the bleachers, the under the bleacher dwellers, I guess, I don't know, to go look for him in the street. And so the players found him out in the street playing marbles with some kids when he was, when they needed him to come in from the bullpen and pitch. So when the players told him he was needed to pitch, he replied, "I'll come in when I'm through." So they finally persuaded him to come in to pitch. And then when he came in, he gave up 3 singles, a triple, and a home run over 2 innings and was charged with the loss. So I guess his head wasn't in the game. He wanted to play more marbles.
He had gotten like shaken because he lost a close game of marbles and it just ruined his confidence. And that was that.
Yeah, it must have been it.
Before we finish here, I want to mention John Baker Day, which is July 29th. And that is the 2-year anniversary of the John Baker game, which I'm sure most Cubs fans remember when he came in, the backup catcher came in, got the win as a pitcher, and then scored the winning run. We are doing this event at Nisei Lounge before the Cubs-Mariners game on Friday, July 29th. And you can get your tickets at ivmv.com/John Baker. John Baker will be there. And he's going to do a little Q&A, and Danny Rocket will be there to perform the Ballad of John Baker, and Katie Day will be there to perform By the Lakeside. And so when you the tickets are $25, you get a T-shirt with that Kurt designed. It's really nice. I think you're going to like it. And a lot of people from all over the country are buying tickets just so they can get the T-shirt. And so what it would be very helpful if you purchase your ticket here in the next week or so. That way we can get a better idea of how many T-shirts we need to order. If you're not able to come, I will be reaching out to everybody to find out if you're going to the event or if we need to mail you your ticket. But whether you go to the event or not, it's $25 and all of the proceeds are going to Cubs charities. And there's a lot of cool things. There's the artwork of the 5 Cubs rookies from last season, and that is autographed by all 5 rookies. And so that's going to be, even if you're not able to make it to the event, that will be, you'll be able to bid on that. We're going to do kind of like a silent auction type thing, and we'll share more information on that here in the next few weeks. But it's going to be a really fun event. Lots of people signed up, and it's going to be a blast. I can't wait for it. So again, go to ivmv.com/John Baker. So that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. Patreon is how we keep this thing going. And if you would like to be a part of the IVMV team, you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. And if everybody that listens to this podcast gave $1 a month, that would be pretty awesome. We'd be able to do a lot of things. So check out the pledging levels and the perks that you can receive at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to ivmv.com and click on the Patreon image on the right side of the page. So the Cubs head to Miami for a 4-game series with the Marlins. The next episode is Sunday. It'll just be me and Andy. Kurt is on vacation. He'll be gone here for the next few episodes. And we will be here Sunday to talk about the series with the Marlins and anything else that happens with the Cubs. And until then, go Cubs.